All right, do we have anybody in kindergarten through fifth grade who want to come forward after this? We're going to go to junior church if you want to head up this way. If not, we can meet you in the back afterwards. All right, this morning, I don't know if you'll be able to see it, I brought some little chickens. It's little baby chickens. Chickens, man, they can be cute, can't they? I mean, you see them. If you've raised chickens, my sister-in-law raises chickens. If you've raised chickens, they're mean, okay? They're terrible. Like, chickens are so mean to each other. My sister-in-law has had chickens that, if they find something different about one of the other chickens, they peck at it. They peck and peck and peck at it. One of her chickens goes around, has no feathers on the back end of it because it's getting pecked all the time by the other chickens. They're not very nice, okay? I have no problem eating them. Okay? They are delicious, yes. But chicken, they're mean. They peck at each other. They find something different. And humans do that too, right? People do that too. We find something different about somebody, and as a group, if they're not the same as the group, we peck at them. We peck and peck and peck at them, and it's not very nice, right? We're mean. We're kind of like chickens sometimes, and there's this desire to fit in and to not be pecked at, right? We don't like being pecked at. But Jesus, here in the last of the Beatitudes, says, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness." In fact, he says that the kingdom of heaven is yours. What? Like, we're gonna be made fun of for doing what was right? For saying Jesus is the Son of God and for following him, people aren't gonna like us? They're gonna persecute us. And persecution can come in all different forms, right? I mean, it'd be insults. Maybe you're not invited to stuff because of what you believe. All the way up to being killed and dying for your beliefs. But Jesus said you're going to be persecuted, and blessed are you when you are persecuted, because the kingdom of heaven is going to be yours. And he's giving us this idea that is hard to think about sometimes, eternity. When we think about forever, it's kind of hard to think about that, because we live in such a finite time. We're constrained by time. So it's hard to think about eternity in heaven, but that's our reward. And he's saying, I want you to keep that in mind when you are being persecuted. And so much that there's kind of three reactions to persecution that we can have, right? Three reactions that when people are making fun of us and we want to fit in, we can be like, well, okay, yeah, you're right. You're right. When people say, yeah, you shouldn't believe that stuff about Jesus, that's not true. Oh, okay, yeah, you're right. You're right, that's fine. And we can give in. Or we might get mad if people start persecuting us. We might get mad and we might want to say bad things about them. We might want to pick on them, and we might want to return the same persecution to us that they're doing to us. We might want to return to them. And we might get mad. So we might give in, we might get mad about it. But the third way, and this is what Jesus says to do, he says to get glad. He says to rejoice. He says be really happy about it. Be glad about it. Because you're realizing that your reward isn't here. Your reward is in heaven with me. And doing right is the right thing to do, even when nobody else is doing it. And that example Jesus took all the way to the cross. And dying for us and our sins, he showed us how to deal with persecution. Because Jesus is our ultimate example. And as much as we don't want to be persecuted, as much as we don't want to suffer, it's going to happen, because people like chickens are going to peck away at what isn't like them. And I'm going to turn it over to Fred as we go back to a room back here for Junior Church.
Thank you, brother. Did Sammy say just say he wants some chickens? I don't know what. Oh, he did. Okay. He wants some chickens. Maybe he meant to eat. I'm not sure. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Good morning. We are continuing. Actually, we're concluding our series of lessons today on the pursuit of happiness. And today we're going to be talking about harassed for Jesus, okay? Harassed for Jesus. And so I want you to just kind of turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, if you will, please. Matthew 5. And we're going to read verses 10 through 12 in just a few moments here. I do want to talk a little bit about yesterday. Yesterday was really the beginning of our Reach Bean Creek campaign. And we had a group of people to meet here at around 9 o'clock. Some came in a little bit later. I don't know for sure how many we had, but we probably had about 12 to 14 people out knocking doors, and then we had some driving us around, being involved in this as well. And we went around just to, handing out a card, inviting people to our Easter service, and and trying to find out, just tell them about ourselves, who we are, and to learn more about them. We're handing out surveys also. Wanting people to fill out this survey and to mail it back. So we handed them out. And in fact, this morning, as I went to check the mailbox, somebody had already dropped one in the mailbox this morning. It wasn't mailed because we handed it out yesterday, but it was still in the envelope. So we still have an envelope with a stamp on it, Jay. We have one. But, they already filled out the survey. And so it's just a way that we're making more contact with people and, of course, praying with them, and asking them if they have any young people that want to be part of our youth group and so forth. So we met so many people yesterday, and we're going to continue to follow up. And so we're going to meet again this Saturday and for the next three more Saturdays that we're going to be involved in this and reaching out to our neighbors. And what I'd like for you to do, I want you to be praying about it, will you please? Be praying about this. We're just out there, planting seed and watering, but yet we know that God is the one who causes the growth. And we're going to be praying about this, that God will certainly bring growth as a result of our efforts in doing this, okay? All right, harassed for Jesus. In his book, Lords of the Earth, Don Richardson, the author of the best-selling book, The Peace Child, tells the story of Stanley Dale, a missionary to the Yali tribe deep in the Aran Jaya jungle of Indonesia in 1968. And the Yali, being headhunters and cannibals, were steeped in an incredible religion. They had little pieces of ground that they believed were so sacred that even if a baby happened to crawl on this piece of ground, that it would desecrate the whole village. I mean, it would just completely, put the entire village in a curse. And they believed that they would desecrate the ground. And in such cases, what they would do, they would take that baby and throw it off a cliff into the rapids of the river that ran through their village. Now, if anyone did anything against their religious system, he was slaughtered on the spot. There could be no rebellion, no change, no questioning, no possibility of altering anything. And the Yali warriors called themselves the Lords of the Earth. And it was into this very difficult situation came Stanley Dale, a little undaunted, bandy-legged Australian. He came to the Yali people to teach them about Christ. He and his family, his wife and five children, all came there into the jungles of Aran Jaya to teach the Yali people about Jesus Christ. And, of course, he had his entire family with him. I'm going to read a portion of Richardson's book that describes what happened to Stanley Dale. A priest of Kimbu named Barraway slipped around behind Stan And at point blank range, shot an arrow in under his upraised arm. Another priest, Benu, shot a bamboo bladed shaft into Stan's back, just below his right shoulder. As the arrows entered his flesh, Stan pulled them out one by one, broke them, and cast them down. Dozens of them were coming at him from all directions, and he just kept pulling them out, breaking them, dropping them at his feet until he could not keep ahead of them. Nalimo reached the scene after some 30 arrows had found their mark in Stan's body. Stan faced his enemies steady and unwavering except for the jolt of each new strike. 50 arrows. 60. Red ribbons of blood trailed from the many wounds, but Stan stood his ground. Nalimo saw that he was not alone in his fear. The attack had begun with hilarity, but now the warriors shot their arrows with desperation, bordering on panic because Stan refused to fall. "Fall," they screamed at Stan. "Die." It was almost a plea. "Please die." Now we'll talk about the ultimate fate of Standale a little later on in this message. But I tell you this story to bring fresh into our mind once again the fact that it isn't always easy to be a Christian. Amen? It's not always easy. And we know that, but persecution? I mean, no one is persecuted today for being a Christian, are they? Well, Nina Shea gives evidence in her book, The Lion's Den, and I want you to listen to this, that more followers of Christ around the world have been martyred for their faith in the last century, the 1900s. We were there, weren't we? Okay, the 1900s. So in the last century alone, than all the previous 19 centuries of the church's history combined. There were more Christians, followers of Christ, who were killed for their faith in the 1900s than the entire 19 centuries of the church from its inception on the day of Pentecost combined. So yes, we got to understand that there are people being persecuted for their faith today. In fact, Christianity is a hated religion. It's hated. Not only by people of other parts of the world, but even by many Americans, including some who are currently serving in the highest offices of our government who hate Christianity. They hate Christians. Jesus told his disciples in John chapter 15, verse 18, he says, "In the world, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first." I mean, Jesus wants us to know that following him is not always easy, okay? It's not always easy, but we as Christians understand that it's always worth it. Amen? It's always worth it. I mean, we may be lied about, gossiped about, ridiculed, taken advantage of, and threatened because of our faith in Christ. But no matter what we may be going through, we need to remember that Jesus has been there first. He was there first. He suffered for us. And since Christianity is the most hated religion in the world today, the words of Jesus presented in this beatitude are as relevant in 2024 as when they were when he spoke those words almost 2,000 years ago. I want you to listen to Jesus. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12. As he continues his Sermon on the Mount, the conclusion of his introduction of the Beatitudes, listen to what he said. Verse 10. "Blessed," or happy, remember that word means happy, Blessed or happy are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, with these words, Jesus explodes the myth that in order to be truly happy, we have to be liked by everyone. Because that's what we think. Everybody's got to like us, you know. Being a Christian, you should be liked by everybody. But yet, we understand that true happiness, being a Christian, we are not going to be liked by everybody. And if you're a follower of Christ, of Jesus, striving to be characterized by the first seven Beatitudes that we've been studying for the past several weeks, that is just not going to happen. Even being peacemakers that we studied about last week does not prevent us from being persecuted. And we will be hated by somebody. Some of you have already experienced that in some very hurtful ways. You've already experienced that. And so I want us to take a look at this text. First of all, I want us to begin by understanding that persecution will come to those who love and stand up for Jesus. Amen? It will come to those who love and stand up for Jesus. Now Jesus makes this statement about persecution very personal to his hearers. He begins with speaking generally. You know, blessed are those who are persecuted, but then quickly personalize it by saying, blessed are you. I mean, Jesus knows that those who take a stand for him will be persecuted in some way. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 3, verse 12, he said, everyone, say everyone with me, everyone will be persecuted. Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. I mean, not maybe, perhaps, there's a good possibility, but will be persecuted. And we've got to understand that very thing. In America, it's difficult for us to relate to those words. The words of Jesus, the words of Paul. I mean, we look at our freedom of religion that our Constitution provides, and we think, well, I've never been in prison for my faith in Jesus as the Son of God. I've never been physically abused or tortured for following after Christ. I don't know anybody who has ever been executed because of their love for Jesus. But it's interesting that although persecution can and does include physical abuse, as you see here in the photo of this young Christian woman, and possibly even, you know, results in death, Jesus specifically talks about insults directed toward us and lies told about us. That's what Jesus is talking about here. I mean, have you ever been insulted because of your faith? Yeah, yes. Yeah, I think most of us have. I mean, it could probably started back in school. You know, kids at school made fun of you because you didn't participate in some of the activities that they participated in, all because of your love for Jesus, you know, being a Christian. Maybe in college, your philosophy professor did this, and I'm saying this because it happened to one of my friends, that a philosophy professor belittled my friend in front of the entire class because he was wearing a cross around his neck. Or maybe your unbelieving spouse, you know, he may tolerate, you know, your faith in Jesus, but often ridicules you for attending worship, reading your Bible, and even praying at the dinner table. Man, I've known a lot of Christian wives over the years that have told me that very thing about their unbelieving husbands. Have anybody ever told lies about you because of Jesus? Maybe on the job, a co-worker makes false reports about you simply because you openly talk about your faith in Christ. I even know one young lady in a youth group who had a kid in school who went and told all of her friends that she had sex with him because he was simply angry when she refused. And yet he spread this false rumor, vicious rumor, about this young Christian girl. You see, living the Christian life is a threat. It is a threat to so many people. And it's interesting, you know, to me that in our society, bring up that next slide, if you will, please. And, you know, it's interesting to me that in our society, especially on secular campuses today, the only group of people left, well, I now have to qualify that somewhat because we now have this problem with many of the people who are hating Jews because of the Israel-Hamas war that's going on. But really, you know, we as Christians are the only group, I believe, and many times we see this, who are fair game for rejection, who may be insulted without any protest, who have their religious freedoms under constant scrutiny, are those who truly are striving to live a life committed to Jesus Christ. Every other religion, ethnic group, and other category of people are welcome as part of the college multicultural environment, but Christians who take Jesus seriously are often ridiculed, mistreated, and misunderstood. And we see this happening. And the assumption is that because we as Christians walk a narrow road, we are narrow-minded. Because we live with a clear purpose, we are arrogant. And because we take a stand against sin, we are bigots who hate sinners. And we see this happening all around us. Christian business owners have been boycotted and lost their businesses because of their stance against homosexuality, not wanting to participate in weddings and other things, you know, that the Bible clearly condemns. Christian school teachers have been suspended and even fired because of their refusal to use certain pronouns to describe a child born one gender as being the opposite gender. Christian parents have had their children taken away by the state, even here in Indiana, because they refuse to recognize their child as being another sex from what is indicated on their birth certificate and would not allow their child to go through sex change procedures. Just now, I just heard on the news this week of a parent who had their child taken away from them for that very reason. Christian parents, for that very reason, here in Indianapolis. So yes, those who want to live godly lives are still being persecuted, even here in the United States of America, a nation that has been founded upon religious freedom. So yet, we got to understand, as being persecuted, and as we are persecuted, secondly, our response to persecution is rejoicing. Okay? Our response is rejoicing. Jesus said that we should rejoice and be glad. Say that with me. Rejoice and be glad. Say it like you mean it. Rejoice and be glad. That's what Jesus said we are to be. Rejoice and be glad. And that's quite a statement. It's quite a statement. I mean, to understand, okay, I'm persecuted and I'm supposed to rejoice and be glad. But that's what the apostles did after being thrown into prison and severely beaten for preaching Jesus. In Acts chapter 5, verse 41, it says, "And the apostles left the Sanhedrin court, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name." And what is that name? Jesus. For the name Jesus. Does that mean that they enjoyed being beaten? I mean, I can't picture them, you know, here they're tied to a post And the guy behind him has this cat of nine tails that just has all these little strips of leather and all these things, and sometimes would even have pieces of pottery and bone in it and start whipping people. I can't imagine them saying, "Oh man, that feels so good. Oh, here, a little bit lower, please. Oh man, that's the spot." I mean, that's not what we're talking about. That's not the rejoicing that we're talking about. Persecution itself does not make us happy. It does not make us happy. Persecution is difficult. It's hard. It hurts, whether it's physical, verbal, or emotional. It hurts, right? It hurts. So, but why the apostles rejoice is because they were willing to stand up for Jesus even when it hurts, even when it was hard. It would have been so much easier for them just to deny Jesus Christ. "Jesus, I don't think he's the Son of God after all," and just walk away. That would have been so much easier for them to do. But instead, they took it because of their love for Jesus. Amen? That's why they took it. They went home and very delicately treated their wounds, but their hearts were rejoicing. They were rejoicing. And when you are insulted and ridiculed, lied and gossiped about because of Jesus, rejoice and be glad, because you have been found worthy to suffer disgrace for the name. I want you to listen. You know, one thing that we got to understand, the reason that we are being persecuted is, when you are harassed for your faith in Jesus, it means that the Spirit of Christ can be seen in your life. And I want you to turn your Bible over to 1 Peter. Will you quit, please? 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want us to look at verses 12 through 14. It's really this entire section, but I just want to read those few verses. I want you to listen to Peter as he's writing again to Christians, and happened to be Hebrew Christians, who were still suffering for their faith. And listen to what he says to them. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial that you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you." He is saying, Christian, when you are persecuted, don't think, "Man, I don't understand why they persecute me like that." He says, don't be surprised about it. It's going to happen if you're living a godly life, according to Paul. He said, "But rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed." Say that word with me. Overjoyed when His glory is revealed, when He returns. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are what? What does that word mean? Happy. You are happy, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Man, that's a powerful statement. Satan and his bunch will do all they can to discourage Christians from living the life of Christ. They will bring heartache and suffering and verbal and physical attacks upon us. But in order to cause us to leave Jesus, and when they come, expect it. Expect it. But you know what is not expected from those who attack us? Our rejoicing. Man, they don't expect that. Our rejoicing. And I know it's not easy when people insult us and lie about us because of Jesus. I mean, I've been there. And it hurts. It really hurts. And yet, if we are living the life of Jesus, persecution will come. And sometimes even from well-meaning people who should know better. And sometimes even from your own brothers and sisters in Christ who still do not understand the grace of God. But be ready for it. Expect it. And when it comes, remember that they did the same thing to your master. So you're not out of place here. I mean, you are standing right where you need to be standing. But do not lose heart. Brothers and sisters, do not lose heart, because our reward in heaven is great. Amen? It's great. Okay. The story of Stanley Dale, the missionary to the Yali headhunters. As Stan Dale took arrow after arrow into his body, a second missionary appeared on the scene, American Phil Masters. This is a newspaper article of Phil Masters and his family as they arrived in the jungles of Irian Jaya. And Don Richardson's book tells the rest of the story. Yamu did not hear Phil say anything to the warriors as they aimed their arrows at him. Phil made no attempt to flee or struggle. He had faced danger many times, but never certain death. But Stan had showed him how to face it if he needed an example. And that example could hardly have been followed with greater courage. Once again, it was Barraway who shot the first arrow. It took almost as many arrows to down Phil as it did Stan. Yamu and three of the Yali tribesmen waited until they knew Phil was too badly wounded to survive. At the sight of the killings, after both missionaries had fallen on the stony beach, the Yali dragged their battered bodies away from the stones and placed each of them in separate forest alcoves overhung with boughs. Bunu, moved with fear, beheaded Stan and Phil. Now I know someone is thinking, that was a horrible story. Why would you tell something like that, preacher? Why would you talk about that? And most of us probably expected it to have a happy ending, right? I mean, we expect that of stories. I mean, the heroes should always win. Am I right? Well, this story does have a happy ending. Even though those two courageous Christian men ended giving their lives for their faith. You see, as a direct result of the death of Stanley Dale and Phil Masters willingly died for their faith, the Yali people don't gather around to eat missionaries anymore. In fact, many of the children and grandchildren of the very tribesmen who took the lives of Stan and Phil now gather around the Lord's table. And under the sponsorship of World Bible, Yali Christian leaders have translated the entire Bible into their own language. But what is Stan and Dale? I mean, what's the good that we see from their deaths? What did they get out of it for their ultimate sacrifice? Well, they, like all others persecuted for righteousness before them, got the same promise of their master. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Amen. So let me ask you, are you being persecuted? Are you being persecuted? We look at the way that both Stanley and Phil died for their faith in Christ. And we say, no, I've never been persecuted. But we have. We've all been persecuted. Again, Paul said, if you're striving to live a godly life, you are persecuted. Okay? You are. If you're not being persecuted, then take a look at your life. How you live in your life. But I want you to understand that the devil's behind every persecution. He's behind it all. Because again, Satan wants to cause us to walk away from Christ. He wants people who might, you know, ridicule us and lie about us. And, you know, he wants those people to see us crumble and just walk away from our faith. And then they say, I told you there's nothing to this Jesus thing. I told you. There's no big, yeah. I mean, look how quickly he left. Look how quickly he walked away. But the Yali tribesmen, those warriors, those people who call themselves the lords of the earth, they saw two men stand there while they were praying and take arrow after arrow and did it because it was worth to them their very lives to let these people know there really is a God in heaven. There really is a God in heaven. He really sent His Son Jesus to this earth to die for you. You see, that's why Jesus says, go into all the world, and preach the gospel. And they knew these people needed to hear about Jesus. And as a result of their sacrifice, of their willingness to die for their faith, there are those within the Yali Nation who are now children of God. Not lords of the earth, children of God. If you're here today, we're going to be singing this invitation song. And this is just a song that, you know, just again, the invitation is just to help us to truly reflect on our own lives, our own faith, to understand as we look deep within ourselves, is there something in my life that I need to change? Is there something in my life that I need to seek forgiveness of? Not only from God, but maybe even this church. Is there something there that I need to do? We want to pray with you about that today. Maybe there's just some things that you're dealing with that are just rough. It could be the cause of persecution. Maybe it's the cause of just life itself. Whatever it is, we want to pray with you about that. Whatever that need is, will you please come? As together we stand and we sing.